Good morning.
Turn in your Bible. In the Old Testament, we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk this morning. Don't be ashamed to go to that table of contents, okay? Never be ashamed to use the table of contents. You can be a Christian for a really long time, and you got to go there, figure out where some of these books are, right? Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. If you want to find it quick, you can go to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. You can go five books backwards from there. You'll find it. Habakkuk. We're going to be studying this book together. And let's start this way. Our church took a trip to go share the gospel and pray and visit a family overseas. A team from our church was sent out. This was several years ago, and we went to East Asia, and we were very excited to go there and to see what God was doing there, what was going on. And so we took this trip, and our team, we landed in the country that we were going to, but the city that we landed in was a pretty large, and even honestly, kind of, there's some Americanization in that city. It's a Western-influenced city, even though it's in East Asia. And we were feeling pretty good. We're like, well, we landed in this country, but we still feel kind of comfortable. There's an Outback Steakhouse. You know, we got our bearings. Anyways, then we get our connecting flight. We go to the city or the town, much smaller, where we're actually going to be. And it was amazing how much things changed. I mean, we were like, oh my, we are not in America anymore. We do not fit in. And then even from there, we get in a car with this family, and they are going to take us to some of the villages and towns that they are working in and sharing the gospel with people in. And they're like, listen, we're going to take you to some really, really remote places. And these are places like you could never find these places. Just villages where there are whole people who live their whole lives and never maybe leave, and they've never heard of Jesus. Our team went there, and we prayed, and we met some people and had a translator, and it was great. Well, anyways, we're there, and I see this girl sitting, a little girl, sitting next to a wall, and it captures my attention, and I take a picture of her. And the reason I did, and I want to show you the picture, is because you can see it here. She's wearing Angry Bird slippers. And I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, I think I'm in the most remote place I could ever possibly be in this world. There's an Angry Birds pair of slippers on a little girl smiling for a picture. And I'm thinking, gosh, some things just have universal appeal. Some things, no matter how different of a setting or a culture or a country you're in, those things are just the same. And I guarantee you that little girl, when she goes on a trip with her parents, and they've been traveling for a while, she asks this question to her parents. Are we? Yeah, it's universal. It's a timeless question. And so we're different, and we're very different from the people over there. We're very different from Habakkuk and the people in his day, but some things never change. And this morning, we're looking at timeless questions that we ask God. And the two questions that Habakkuk asks this morning that we're going to look at are the questions, how long and why? How long and why? We all ask God those questions. So let me just introduce Habakkuk just a little bit. Let me kind of talk about this book. This is the first sermon in this series. And so I want to kind of take a little time out, step into the classroom, if that makes sense, and just give you some information about this book in the Old Testament so that we'll be ready to really understand and study this book. And so first of all, let's just talk about the pronunciation. All right? Now, I shared this last week to prepare you, but the most important thing when pronouncing names in the Old Testament is fast and confident. All right? It doesn't really matter how you pronounce it as long as you do it fast and confident. Okay? And because sometimes people really, no one knows how to pronounce it. But let me give you this one. So imagine a K and an H as the first part of Habakkuk's name, okay? So Habakkuk, all right? You got that? I know you want to try it. You can try it. You're allowed. It's okay in church. Habakkuk. So when you kind of make that sound, you got the little K and the H and you feel like a little spit in your throat, that's when you're saying his name, all right? That's when you're actually, if you want to call out to him in a crowd and you hope he'll actually hear you and come to you, then you might say Habakkuk. All right? But you can also just say Habakkuk or Habakkuk or whatever, you know, because he's not here. But his name means to embrace, and we know nothing else about him except that he was a prophet at this time in the history of God's people. The date of this book is 609 to 605 BC. That's about 2,600 years ago. And I just want to give you a little bit of information about what was happening at the time of Habakkuk. And so some historical perspective, all right? Like, what were the major world events? And so I'm going to give you first just two key dates in the Old Testament. And the first one, picture it over here, 722 BC. This is the date when Assyria, this mighty empire, came and crushed Israel and took the 10 tribes of Israel and dispersed them, they deported them, and scattered them around the world in all different places as a way to sort of take their power away, okay? And so that was the 10 tribes. That was the north. And the Bible talks about that as Israel. But in the south were the other two tribes. There were 12 tribes total. So in the south, the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they remained. They didn't get taken by Assyria. So 722, that happens, right? In 605 BC, it happens to Judah. But it's a different empire. It's the Babylonian Empire. And they capture Jerusalem and Judah, and they exile the people to Babylon. So you got these two dates, right? Assyria, 722, the 10 tribes. Babylon, 605, the two tribes in the south. Judah is what that's called. Israel is what those 10 are called. So, okay, you got that, right? I told you, we're just stepping into the classroom for a second, get the information. It's going to help you appreciate Habakkuk. So, three things. Three developments in the world at this time. Number one, the world powers of Assyria and Egypt were on the decline. Okay, so the Assyria that had taken the 10 tribes in 722, still in power for a while, but they were on the decline. They were going down. And, you know, the one little fact is in 612, the fall of Nineveh. Nineveh was the big capital city of Assyria. And so Assyria and Egypt that was sort of in cahoots with them, they're on the decline. Now, while that's happening, Judah, which is the two tribes in the south, the people of God, Judah is, during this time, majorly lost. They've lost their way spiritually. They're not walking with the Lord. They had gone through a period of great revival just right before the time of Habakkuk with King Josiah, where he renews the covenant and the worship in Judah. And then he dies. And then his successor, Jehoiakim, is this very wicked king. And so that's the time of Habakkuk. So Judah has lost its way. God's people have lost their way. Now, third thing and the last thing. Babylon is ascending to power. The King Nebuchadnezzar, have you heard of him? King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. He decisively defeats Assyria and Egypt at the Battle of Carchemish. And so they start in 605, 598, and 597 to do these three exiles of the people of Judah in the south. And so, anyways, Habakkuk is standing as a prophet right here, not 605 BC yet. They've not been exiled to Babylon, But no one's really in power in the world, and Israel has lost its way spiritually. And that is exactly where Habakkuk is standing. And so, in summary, you know, God's people are not trusting in God. They're given over to injustice and to idolatry. And Habakkuk is asking these questions, is this going to continue this way? Are we going to have another great king come along and bring about a revival like Josiah? Or is God going to judge us and bring about great discipline and do something to us like he did to Assyria? That's the questions Habakkuk is asking. And so I want to read the passage now, and you're going to see in this passage the two questions, and you're going to see also just Habakkuk's heart. And just know that as I read this passage and as he's talking about all the wickedness and the problems going on around him, know this. He's not talking about Assyria. They've got their own problems. He's not talking about them. He's not talking about Babylon. They're not really quite fully in the picture yet. He is talking about the problems in Judah. Let me read it to you. Here it is. Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 4. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Let's pray, and we're going to dive into this sermon titled Timeless Questions We Ask God. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word, and we're excited. We're excited for a new study, a fresh study. Lord, as we step into the book of Habakkuk, we recognize that before we can bring Habakkuk to Raleigh, we have to understand what's happening at this time in your history, Lord. Lord, give us understanding. Give us great perspective. And Lord, I pray you would just transform our lives and hearts through this study. Wake us up, shake us, stir our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Timeless questions that we all ask God. So first we're going to look at the questions. And you see them here, right? Like verse 2 is the first question. It says, how long? Verses 3 and 4 is the second question. Why? Let me just show you verse 2. It says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? You will not hear. Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save. It's interesting. Habakkuk, this is a prayer. This is a lament. This is Hebrew poetry. He's praying about his prayer. He's asking this question, God, how long? How long is this prayer, in my estimation as Habakkuk, going to go unanswered by you, Lord? It's interesting. He says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry to you for help? You will not hear. He says, cry to you violence, and you will not save. You know, the Hebrew word for violence is the word Hamas. You think, oh, that's interesting. No. I see, I could play this up. But the Hamas organization is actually just an acronym, H-A-M-A-S. It's an acronym for like Arabic words. But some people do think that Israel has beef with Hamas because they chose to name their organization after an acronym that means violence in Hebrew. That's just interesting. Or not, maybe, to you. But he says, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save. The word here for save is Hosea. You will not save, Lord. Have you ever asked this question? How long? I think we all have. Maybe you ask it about God's people. You ask it about the church. You ask it about when the Lord will return and make the church to be really the true and pure church. Maybe you look around and you see the in your estimation, kind of patheticness of the church. And you think, gosh, Lord, I read the Bible and I see just how amazing your people are supposed to be. And I look at the church and I see a lot of problems. I see pastors falling. I see a focus on money that seems wrong and the world hates it. And Lord, I'm like, how long are you going to let your church look like this? That's kind of where Habakkuk's coming from. He's like, looking around at Judah, he's a prophet, he sees the people of God, he's like, this is wrong. How long are you going to be okay with this, Lord? But maybe you've personally asked this question, right? About any situation. I mean, this week I was thinking, like, this is such a timeless question. Everyone has asked this question, God, how long am I going to be stuck in this situation? This season of loneliness. This time of infertility. This job that I hate, this season of suffering that I'm going through. And we ask this question all the time. We say, how long? Like, are we good? Like, how long? How long is this going to last? We all ask this question. It's truly a timeless question. The next question, verses 3-4. Why? Why? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? It's crazy, right? Like, if you take this, I mean, he's like, God, I believe you're perfect. I believe you're holy. I believe you are pleased in good things. I believe you love the truth and purity. Why are you making me watch an R-rated movie in real life? I vowed not to watch R-rated movies. Except for historical violence. I am sitting here, God, and you're making me see iniquity. Why? Why are you doing that? And then he says, and why do you idly look at wrong? He's like, God, not only are you making me see it, but you see it, Lord. And you seem to me, from my perspective, to not be doing anything about it. Do you have plans? Back to the first question. How long, O Lord? Back to the second question. Why are you not doing anything? It says, continue in verse 3, destruction and violence are before me. Again, he's not talking about Assyria or Babylon. He's talking about right at home in the people of God. He is also not talking about America, okay? Hello? In the Old Testament, the people of God were a geopolitical nation, okay? In our day, the people of God are the non sort of defined by any one country or nation, intercultural, you know, multicultural people of God from all tongues and tribes. And so it's just like important to understand that when he is talking about this violence and destruction before him, he's talking about God's people. He's talking about Judah. He says, strife and contention arise. Disunity, arguing, debating, no unity among the people of God. The law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forward. You could translate paralyzed as stunned. This is the scene in Habakkuk's day. The law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. The picture here is in a courtroom where there is an innocent and a righteous, you know, defendant or, you know, whatever. And like all these crooked witnesses come in and just surround the case and the situation. And so what happens? Justice goes forth out the doors of the courtroom as what? It says perverted. Like, why? Why is this happening? God, why is this happening among your people? Why is there so much contention and strife? Why is there so much injustice? Why is there so much crooked and perversion of justice? Why does your will, that's the law, your perfect will, the reflection of your character and standards, why does it seem paralyzed? Great question. Have we not all asked this question also of why? Why? Timeless question. God, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you not doing what seems would be the thing you would do about that, based off what I know about you? Timeless questions we ask God, how long and why. So I want to take the remainder of our time. I want to look at five truths about these timeless questions that we ask God. And this all comes, I'm sure, from this text. First one is, they're normal. Five truths about the timeless questions we ask God. Number one, they're normal. They're normal. Isn't it assuring and normalizing that we see the prophet of God in the Old Testament asking the question that we ask? Amen? It's normal. I mean, hey, there will be a time where we will have to kind of reckon with Habakkuk's message to us, right? Like, he is a prophet, right? So there's a sense in which it's like, hey, thus saith the Lord, fellowship, probably, like, I'm the prophet of God, I got something to say to you. But in this beginning, it's like Habakkuk is talking to the Lord, and he's saying the things that we feel and think, because we all feel and think it, because it's normal. And so I think it's important that we just look at that, and we realize, let's be authentic. Let's lament about sad things. Don't be the person that's like, well, I'm really frustrated about the situation, but it's not as bad as the other person's situation, and so I'm not going to complain. No, you go ahead and lament. Be real. Be authentic. Bring your questions to God. Bring your questions into community with other followers of Christ, which leads to the next point. They're not new. They're not new. They're normal. They're not new. These questions have been asked before. You're not alone. We can learn from those who have asked these questions before us. I got an idea. We can learn from Habakkuk, who asked these questions 2,600 years before us. They're not new. So we have a great chance to learn from those who have gone before us, to avail ourselves to perspectives of others, whether that be in God's Word or even in community with other believers who can encourage us. They're normal. They're not new. You know, we are instructed in God's Word to, it says in 1 Peter 5:7, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. Habakkuk is setting a great example for us here, because even though he's getting frustrated, you can tell, and he's saying, God, how long? And he's saying, why? At least he's still going to the one from where his help does come. A great example to us to continue to bring our questions and our burdens to the Lord. How long? Why? Normal. Are we going to pretend like it's not normal? I mean, come on. Like, this past year, no one's asked how long. No one's asked why. They're normal. They're not new. Number three, they are necessary. They are necessary. Habakkuk was not questioning God's justice or God's truth. He believed the Lord was who the Word of God says the Lord is. He believed it. He was a prophet. He believed, God, you're on your throne. God, you answer prayer. God, you deliver people. God, you are holy. You cannot tolerate idolatry or great injustice. God, this is who you are. And it's really because he is still believing those things, and that he does believe those things, that these questions are troubling him as they are. Does that make sense? These are necessary questions when you believe these great truths about God and you honestly look at the world, what's going on. Necessary question. We don't lose our faith. We grow our faith as we ask these questions. Habakkuk did not have a problem with God's character. He still believed. who God was. He was struggling with God's plan. He was struggling with God's timing. How long, God? He was struggling with God's tolerance of all the sin around him. God, why? Five truths about these timeless questions. They're normal. They're not new. They're necessary. Number four, they're not just about me. They're not just about me. Habakkuk was certainly a person, a man with clay feet like us. He had his own personal concerns. I'm sure he had his stuff, right? Where he's like, how long, Lord? Why? His personal things. But is that what this is about? This is not really about that. This is about his burden for God's people, for God's kingdom. It's not just about Habakkuk. It's not just about you. It's not just about me and the things I'm personally focused on. It's so much greater and bigger than that. And that isn't an insult. That's an encouragement. It takes the pressure off. It's not like we're not, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to make all of us in here feel small. I'm trying to help all of us come to grips with the reality that we are actually small, but that we're a part of a huge God's great big story. And so these questions, they're not just about me. Actually, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. If you have the NIV, it says the prophecy, I think. If you have the King James Version, it says the burden that Habakkuk the prophet saw. I love that because it helps you understand what's going on here. Habakkuk is burdened. He's upset. He's pounding his fist on the table. God is not supposed to be like this with your people. Why? Why is it like this? How long will you let it be like this? God, I have a holy ambition, a holy discontent for your people. You know what I'm saying? Like God's people, the bride of Christ, the family of God, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, be burdened for that. It's the only institution, not your business, not your family, not your extended family, not your grandkids, not your parents, not your kids. It's the only institution that God makes the promise, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not overcome it. The people of God be burdened, like Habakkuk, for God's people. God, what are you doing? Be burdened, be frustrated, be upset when the Church of Jesus Christ is not advancing and bearing fruit and showing unity the way you know it should. That's a holy ambition. Habakkuk has it. We would do well to have it with him. Five truths about the timeless questions we ask God. How long and why? They are normal. They are not new. They are necessary. They are not just about me. And last, and perhaps most importantly, they are not mine to answer. Habakkuk was asking God these questions. But don't you feel like they're more like complaints? I mean, it's like, hey, it's been 2,600 years, Habakkuk, and I know you originally wrote it in Hebrew, and like we're reading it in English, and but we can still tell these aren't really just like questions. These are like questioning questions. You know what I mean? Like these are complaints. Yeah, I can feel that. But they are questions. And now he must wait and let God answer. We don't have God's answer yet. We'll have it next week. You can read ahead, but don't right now because this is the best point. But time for Habakkuk to be silent and let God answer his question. It's not mine to answer. How long and why? We let God answer. God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. When I feel a little sick and I go to the doctor, right? I've probably been acting a little pathetic around home for a while, you know, and so I'm going to the doctor. So the most important thing is I do need an official diagnosis because when I go back home, you know, I got to be able to justify. But the other thing is when I go to the doctor, I have to leave with antibiotics, okay? Like, I know that's, listen, I don't understand the human body that much. I'm not really that much of an expert on sickness and all of that. And I know it's a terrible time to say that right now. But I'm just saying, I mean, I'm a pastor and, you know, I went to public school. So the thing is that when I go to the doctor and I'm feeling a little bit sick, I mean, I'm sitting in there, I'm just preparing my speech. When he comes in, it doesn't matter. I'm getting antibiotics, all right? He's like, how long have you had this thing? I'm like, 11 days. You know, it's like, I know how to get them. And if they're like, you know, this just seems a little more viral, not bacterial, so we're going to just tell you to take some multivitamins and go for a brisk walk every morning. It's a total failure for me, right? Like, I'm like, no, I will schedule an appointment tomorrow when you're on your day off. Like, I need the Z-Pack, bro. And I may not be accurate about this. It may not actually be the answer to all problems, but it's just worked a lot of times for me. And this is just how we are in our family. I don't want to make Kristen look bad, but she's the same way. You know, she actually just wants the Z-Pack too. And she'll be like, Matt, can you like help me word what I'm going to say? Like, can you text it to me before I go and just type it out? Because I've gotten kind of good at it. My batting average is up there in the 75%. And I'm like, you just got to know how to press the certain buttons. You're like, yeah, when I blow my nose, there's a tinge of red blood in the Kleenex. You know, you just kind of got to get there with them and really get what you need. Okay. Don't take any of that as medical advice. But the thing about that story is that, and I'll read you this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones, we all tend to prescribe the answers to our prayers. It is a fundamental principle in life and the walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with God. We can't prescribe the answer to our prayers. We are not God. These questions are not mine or yours to answer. So now Habakkuk must listen. Now he must understand the mysteries of God and the will of God and the plan of God for him and for the people of God. So the challenge for us is to grow our faith in a real God worthy of our worship rather than lose our faith in a pretend God that we've created. If this shows us anything, it shows us that transactional and formulaic faith fails us every time. This idea that I can just sort of punch in my pen, right? Have a little devotion, go to church, give 3.5% to my church. You know, whatever your little, you know, equation is, right? You put it into the ATM and the blessings flow down, right? Formulaic, transactional. That is not biblical faith. And that kind of approach to our relationship, what's supposed to be a relationship with God, fails us every time. Questions are not ours to answer. God is God. In the time of Jesus, his close friend Lazarus died. And the disciples and Lazarus's family, they were like, Jesus, like, what are you doing? Why did you delay? Why didn't you get here quicker and like heal Lazarus? You let him die? Jesus is like, because it had to get a little worse before it got better. Because my plan is not your plan. Because I had a plan to do something that would bring a greater glory to God, which is to tell Lazarus, come out of the tomb and be raised to life. We can ask the questions. They're not ours to answer. Jesus went in the temple and he turned over the temple tables in righteous anger because God's people were not being the people of God. Burdened. In the garden, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls out a sword. He's like, let's have a sword fight. And he's ready to defend Jesus, and he's, you know, ready to be on guard with his sword, and he swings his sword and he cuts a guy's head. And Jesus is like, what are you doing? Peter, put away your sword. That is not my plan, Peter. My plans are not your plans. My answers to the questions are not your answers, Peter. Yeah, we could win this sword fight. Like, we could all get our swords out and win this sword fight. But do we really want to do that, Peter? I'm about to go to the cross and die for the sins of every human being who's ever lived, who places their faith in the work that I'm about to do. That's what I'm about to do, Peter. You want to just get delayed a little further with a sword fight? No, thank you, Peter. My plan is not your plan. It's totally different than your plan, Peter. You can ask the questions, how long, why. They're not ours to answer. God is working. Say, why isn't God doing anything? Why isn't He righting all the wrongs? Why isn't He judging all the people that are unjust, except for me and you, of course, right? Why is He so patient? Why is He so kind? Patience and kindness leads us to repentance. God has acted. We want to be careful when we say God hasn't done anything. God hasn't acted. God has definitively acted in real time and space in human history, sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the great injustices, perversions of justice, and iniquities and violences of all those who would trust in Christ. I'll read you this verse from the New Testament. Because when we talk about how long, or we talk about has God worked in our world, Galatians 4, 4 through 5, maybe just make a note of that verse. When the fullness of time had come, like basically that means at the perfect time. Nearing these great Roman roads by which the gospel could just quickly be spread. The Greeks had spread their language all over the world such that common Koine Greek was the spoken language of almost the entire world. In the fullness of time, right at just the perfect time. Not in Habakkuk's day. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Praise God. Timeless questions we ask God. How long? Why? Let's be a people that grow in our faith. True God as He answers our questions or chooses not to. We'll trust Him. Let's pray.